best above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control.
Let evil take control, folks.
Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very
soul. Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty now Uncle Sam Radio Broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And folks, do not forget to go to ResurrectTheRepublic.com and lend your support to this broadcast. We're going to be having a link for you tomorrow for Bruce Ray Riggs' campaign. If you guys want to step up into that and help us here, we're trying like heck to get him in the debates and to get him face-to-face. He's got the huge cards and laminated with all of these documents going back in history to prove his case. And I think that would make for some very interesting debates coming forward. We do still have on the line Jeff in Idaho, who I want to take just 1 second to say to Jeff. Jeff has worked his rear end off trying to get this information spread all over the place and helping me too. And I'd like to take a moment to thank Jeff and Dr. Wynn Parker for all that they do for this effort. Now, Jeff, I know that you were digging into something there before we had to go to break. I apologize. We had to go to break there, brother. If you want to finish your thought so that Ken can respond accordingly, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, thanks for the thank you, Tom. And, Ken, what I'm trying to do is the doctor that Tom just mentioned, he's the patent claim expert of claim experts. And okay, if you could basically, I'd like to help you in the untangling mode that you've already worked with, because he's already studied some of Anna's stuff, and when we start pile driving, there's a chance that to try and pull all the citizenships out of the District of Columbia at one time. If we have a working process like what you're talking about. So what I'm saying is, if you give me a flow chart, you know, I already studied some of the Hacknet patents from MIT that you chased. And I've mentioned that on air, and I've given it the June 24th show when you're on Tom's show and your Facebook page. So what I'm saying is, I'm trying to integrate in the loop how to do this with the with getting the control. And if we know the patent things, then we can kind of identify them quite easily with getting out of the citizenship mode. And so I just want to – Tom knows how I'm trying to do this. And, you know, at some point, if we can kind of get a loop off air – we could kind of get some things together. But
sure,
I understand exactly what you're trying to do process-wise.
Now, I'm working with Anna. I've been working with her quite extensively.
Yes.
And she's in the group that I'm in that we're working towards this. And in terms of the patents are concerned, yeah, we can talk about this offline and try to get a system together. That's absolutely what needs to happen.
Yes.
But in all cases, it all comes down to proof of life. That's the ultimate extraction device that we have.
Right. Well, the whole thing I'm trying to find out is with the thing I'm interested in. You mentioned about the RFID being new. All right. So you know what we've got is the straw man story talks about, you know, the birth certificate being paper and the human being poisoned. You know, and they just deal with the birth certificate and all the cash associated with it. And the RFID thing is attached on those legal documents. But they're going to try and fool the people into taking the RFID on the man person over the next few years as we go through this. This carbon taxing process by the end of the year.
What they've got is they've got two sides of the coin. And, of course, two sides of the coin is your debit and credits. And so the RFID has one side that's EPC, which I believe is electronic product coding, and the other side is electronic document coding. One's the private side, one's the public side. So what we need to do is we need to bring those two sides together and balance the books.
Yes,
that's the whole goal of all of this. That's exactly what they've done here. What they've done here with these private trusts that they've set up through patents is they've kept that they've taken us into the private LLCs, which are nothing more than private trusts, and bankrolling us on annuities and insurances. So I think what our goal here to do is to bring both sides of the books together and balance the books. And, of course, once we do that, obviously we come out the winner on this side.
How about, could we do an advanced submarine patent that basically busts up this stuff that, you know, is proprietary and essentially stops them from doing this?
Well,
as a term of art?
Again, that goes back to proof of life again. Once we prove life, once we go ahead and DBA our name, once we go ahead and trademark and service mark our name and signature, we basically have control of everything. Now what we have to do is we have to go out to the banks, we have to go out to the books. That's the key right there, is to go up to that. And the patent gives a good indication of where to go to find those sources.
Right.
One would be Bank of America, the other is Wells Fargo. So it's just a matter of demanding that those accounts be released to us. But again, once you have the once you're lined up in trust, or I'm sorry, once you're lined up and prove your life, and you have your decree, and you have a chain of title that you have ownership of your name, your all caps name, and it's non-joinder from your living man, then everything vests to you anyhow. So it's an automatic vesting program.
Right. This is the one thing I want to ask you is, let's say you could do a constitutional habeas that does this simultaneously all at once, based on all the fraud and martial law rule things that are going on, and you don't basically do a controlled destruction of the banking system. Would you be acceptable to that?
That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid what's going to happen here. See, now, I'm of the opinion that the IRS is not our enemy at this point in time. I'm of the opinion that the IRS is putting nuggets out there for people to grab onto to correct their status, because the IRS is sick and tired of trillions of dollars escaping out the back door without any taxes being applied to it. So I think the IRS is our ally in this. I also think the Department of Homeland Homeland Security is also can be an ally. Same thing with the Immigration and Naturalization Service. So I think there's a lot of allies that we can pull into this thing, but it all comes down to, again, proving our identity, which is proving our life. And I think that the danger here is if the IRS or if the Department of Homeland Security or any one of these other agencies came out there and came out and said, hey, I want everybody to correct their status. I want everybody to prove their life. I think what you'd have an economic meltdown, because it would be the equivalent of a run on the bank, which would not be good.
Right.
Well, I think this is something that has to be measured.
I have to ask you a question there. You've piqued my interest, my curiosity there, when you say that the IRS is in some way our friend in this, but the IRS is a creation of what came about.
I see where you're going with this. What I'm saying, as far as a friend is concerned, is what they've done here is they've separated. Let's use a mortgage loan as an example.
Right.
We're under the impression that it's a signed, sealed, and delivered instrument when we sign it. That is, you know, it's a negotiable instrument that is everything's within the four corners, and, you know, it's sold and documented, and bill of sale, endorsements are all one sale. Of course, that's not true. There is no mortgage loan. It's a lease agreement. That is, that the closing is kicked down the road at some future point in time, and that future point in time is when they foreclose on you. Now, that could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years. So in between that time, they've been racking up annuities and insurances and revenues and profits through the use of your legal fiction. And none of those monies that are going out the door or being set up in annuities are being reported to the IRS or being reported against our Social Security number. They're running them through various other IRS programs generation skipping trust, to survivorships, and to other types of trusts that are being reported through the IRS that we don't even know are occurring. But we can catch these guys and nab them by actually reporting that. And how do we report that? We come in and we take charge of the trust. How do we do that? We take charge of it by first taking claim to our name and getting our decree, and then we file with the IRS accordingly, and then boom, we've got them. We get the records of all the monies they're earning behind our backs that are not associated with our Social Security number. That's the other side of the book. So that's what I mean by the IRS being a friend.
Right. Well, the only thing I was trying to get to is Tom and Bruce are working on a martial law rule thing with the Civil War, and there could be a sidestep change that I just want to make you guys and Anna aware if that occurs. So that's all I really had, Tom.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Okay. So, Ken.
Yes.
I believe I have. Is Lori on the line with us now? Lori? I'm looking at her face, but I don't hear her.
Can you hear me?
There she goes. She had you muted. I saw her have to unmute. Lori, you have some questions for Ken, and I want you to be able to dig into that while we have a good ample amount of time. Go ahead, Lori.
And I kind of want to get to the point Jeff was talking about, too, because I did see the patents that he was talking about. But I'm also looking at some of the questions that other people out in the ether have asked you, and there's one that's really interesting that I want to start with to kind of give people a background on the patent. Can you give us a little bit of info on how these patents are also international? And the reason why I'm asking that is because most of the things we're finding with common law and the other laws that have been set up is this is pretty much globalized. Around the world, the same system is set up. So how are these patents international patents? And then I want to go into a couple of the patents you posted last night.
Okay. Well, we have a United States patent system, of course, and we have intellectual properties to trademarks and copyrights, and you cannot copyright your own name in the United States. You can't in England either, but you can copyright a squiggle. And so it's just interesting because a lot of times when you look at assignments or any kind of documents that are being signed and put against us, you never really see a signature. All you see is a squiggle. And so what they're doing is operating through what's known as WIPO, W-I-P-O, which is World Intellectual Properties Organization. So a lot of these patents, I'd say 90% of these patents that are U.S. patents are also patented underneath WIPO, and that's what takes them international. So yes, these are international patents. Now you have a lot of treaties, trade treaties, where certain activities can be done certain countries but are not legal in other countries. So what they're doing is they're bouncing back and forth overseas, for instance, or in Canada, as a matter of fact, what they're doing. So our counterparty to a lot of transactions is a Canadian, under Canadian law. So what they're doing is they're bouncing back and forth through WIPO and through these international patents to be able to conduct the transactions that they're doing. And so if it's illegal in one country, it just bounces over to another country, make the transfer, and then transfer it back to the other country.
That makes perfect sense, and hopefully that answered the person's question that had asked that. Some of the patents you posted last night were kind of mind-blowing. One of the ones that Jeff was talking about, and I'm going to actually give the number for people that want to look it up. It's the U.S. patent number, US 7170391B2. The date is January 30th, 2007. It's the birth and other legal documents having an RFID device and method of use for certification and authentication. And we know passports have the RFID, the driver's license have RFID. I never knew the birth certificates did.
Well, that's your ultimate certificate right there. And as you read through the patent, you recognize the fact that it's who gets authority over it and who has deemed authority over it. You know, we take these certificates of live birth as just a document, but in fact they are legal documents. They're trading these things down at the county. They're selling these things down at the county. They're transacting these things through the Social Security Administration's master death file, and they're transacting these things constantly. And the reason why they're getting away with that is because nobody's taking control of it. The person that owns it has never stepped forward and say, that's my certificate. I'm the owner of that certificate. And that's why they're getting away with these things. So, yes, when we get a certificate of live birth and we go through the authentication process, you know, that is getting it authenticated from the Secretary of State, from the state we were born in, and then subsequently getting authentication from the D.C. Secretary of State. What we're doing, that document that we're getting authenticated, we now have to get a decree from the probate court saying that we have exclusive authority over that. And then at that point in time, then we've got to go ahead and get into a trust and open up an account with that birth certificate, because it is a certificate, it's our certificate, and we have to activate it so that all the monies and all the credits and everything flows to us. That's what it means by automatically vesting back to its owner.
And another one of the things you had posted was exactly what you're talking about, was a DMF licensing agreement for the SSA, the Social Security Administration, correct?
Yes.
Master death file?
Yes.
And so you actually had that on. And if anybody's wanting to know what I'm referring to, it's Facebook's More Equals Copyright Derivative page. and he actually posted their licensing agreement.
Lori,
the license agreement back you up there. Yes.
Lori, do me a favor and talk a little bit slower, only for the reason that every once in a while you break up a little bit, and we wouldn't lose what you were saying if you just talked a little bit slower, honey.
There's another agreement that I put up as well. I don't know if you caught that one. And that is, it's not an agreement. It's a form to file with the SSA and the Master Death Index or Death File to report fraud, to report the fraudulent use of an identity. And I'm going to be filling that form out. I'm going to be sending that in because my identity has been stolen. Time and time again, it's been stolen. And I'm reporting it as stolen. And I'm going to, what's going to back me up on that is my authentications. As soon as I get one back from D.C., I'm getting a certified copy of all of that. And I'm putting that into that complaint or that filing and sending it off to the SSA. And I'm also going to send it off to the Department of Homeland Security and to the INS and report identity theft.
Absolutely, and these are the keys that we've talked about for years, and now you've actually found them through the patent system.
It's when you get down to it, it really does come down to proof of life. It's identity theft on a massive scale.
The dead shall arise is what the Bible said. It's your great code book. If you're not paying.
Yes, it does.
Every time that one keeps coming out, and you're making the dead arise right now. Jesus said you were greater than he. Well, you're bringing the dead back to life in the legal world. And if you use a lot of that as your code, it can find out what's going on. There was an interesting one. I didn't have time to read it. It was on the governor and the Bank of England.
Yes.
And I know you've read that. Can you go over that one just for grins to kind of let people know what you found? Because that
This just goes on. I post a lot of patents. I vaguely remember that one. But that one has to do with certificates, if I'm not mistaken, and sequencing of numbers. And if I'm not mistaken, that's how that the sequence of numbers is reversed as a source of trick, not so much trickery, but as a source of staying secret. And, of course, everything we're dealing with here has to do with secret numbers and secret codings and secret identifications. And if I'm not mistaken, that's what that patent was referring to.
Exactly, that was. And the other one you had posted goes back to what I'm always going to when I talk to you about was the Common Core, the unique primary key identifier you're talking about. And you actually found the number I've been looking for. It's the GUID number. You had posted that information. And if somebody ever gets a hold of that GUID number and tracks and finds out what it means, where it goes, and where that number goes, I'm telling people, I've seen that number through the information I've seen on Common Core and through the UN.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that that's our primary key identifier. I don't know if I'm right, but there's something there with that number if somebody has time to track that one down.
Well, you've got all of these different identifiers that track through this system. But at the end of the day, it all has to track back to an account of some sort. And of course, that account is always going to go back to who? You. It's always going to go back to you. It's always going to go back to your birth account and your treasury account. Everything tracks back to that account. And in all cases, everything. Because that's what they're using. That's what they're using in all these, in any kind of Common Core, in arrests, and any kind of transaction, that being an arrest as well, it's all being referenced to these accounts.
Wow. And another one I wanted you to go into was the Uniform Transfers to Minors Act. Can you go over and say a little bit about what that was? Because I really didn't understand that one.
That's an interesting one. That basically says that as an incompetent minor who has defaulted, we have elected to present a gift to the state and to the charities of the state on behalf of minors, on behalf of the a protected person. Well, that protected person is us. So basically what we're doing is we're giving ourselves up to the state to take care of us. And this is a very interesting act because it's particular, very, very particular to default and foreclosure. If you find your indenture is your declaration of trust. It is not your PSA. It's not the name of the trust that they're foreclosing in. It's a mortgage note trust, and it will in all cases be a Delaware trust, and in all cases will be a Wilmington Delaware trust, Wilmington Bank, Wilmington Trust Company, Wilmington something or other. And within the indenture, There is forms, the form for initiating a foreclosure, and that form instructs a individual to replicate in exact form, representation of your signature to an assignment. And that assignment you're forfeiting, you're agreeing to forfeit any of your tenants in common or tenants by the entirety rights and deferring to the Uniform Transfers of Minors Act. So you're basically agreeing to abandon your property. Whoever did that? None of us did that. None of us did that. And off of this indenture is also what it comes off are what's called will-be-debt opinions. These will-be-debt opinions are issued to by attorneys to these attorney scum, and I will call them a scum because that's what they are, servicers. So when they bring you into court, the attorney's bringing you into court on the basis of this fraudulently drawn will-be-debt opinion. The bonds that are issued against us that pay out in revenues to innumerable number of federal and state agencies and charities and so on and so forth, all flow forth from this will-be-debt opinion, which is a fraudulent opinion, because the indenture makes very, very clear that we are the issuer, we are the principal, and we have thus abandoned our estate, and they're going to take the other side of the books, and they're going to take all the annuities, and we are agreeing to basically kick ourselves out through the Uniform Transfers of Minors Act. It is the most direct evidence there is to this fraud.
Good God.
I have a question that this might lead to the next patent that you had. It's U.S. Patent 9230130, Custody Control of Electronic Signatures. Does that flow into what we're talking about?
Yes, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. Now another act that flows into, which I didn't post up, has to do with, and I might have the name of the act wrong, but it has to do with, it's a Uniform Act of Digital Assets and Control of Digital Assets. Now, it's very interesting about that is Oregon, I think Oregon is onto this stuff, and they're trying to, they know, Oregon knows, I can tell by this act, this amended act that they put up, that's specific to the custodial care of assets, of digital assets. And that's what that's referring to. Somebody has custody over us because, and they have the authority, they're conservative, they're our guardian, they have guardianship over us because we're the protected person. Well, what is a protected person? It's a minor, right? And so what we've got to do is, yes, that's very much linked into this. So what we got to do is once we identify the indenture, we've got to go in and we have to take control of our custodial account and all accounts there under of the protected person. Because guess who the protected person is? It's us. And the only way that we can go in and do that is by proving life, basically, and coming in and saying, hey, those are my accounts. I no longer need you to take care of my accounts for me. I can take care of my own accounts. Get the hell out of the way and give me custodial care. And I have control of all the user assets, as the user of all digital assets, of all the protected person, of all assets, those are mine.
Absolutely. And you had posted one of the patents. I can't remember which one it was. I don't have it in front of me. But one of the past patents had even talked about the digital assets, how they run them through the computer, how the computer's set up, what they do and what they do with each person and how they put them through it. Maybe it may have been the legal transactions for judges in courts. I think it might be in that patent.
Yes. Where we have to understand that everything's operating administratively. Everything that's going on here goes back to that voluntary public/private systems of procedures and procedures and processes that we were incorporated into by reference. So these are what we've been incorporated into these administrative processes by the American Bar Association without any knowledge, without any disclosure, without anything. And that's what we're flowing through here. So if you are in fact in fighting foreclosure, the one thing I would beg people to do is please don't argue the debt. Please don't argue the PSA. Please don't argue missing assignments and change of title. Argue to the facts, folks. That's all magician illusion crap. Argue to the facts, and the facts is that you're the issuer, you're the principal, you're the creditor, and you are the only real party in interest, and the unknown person that they're referring to as a defendant in your case is you. You've got to find out who you are, and that's your living person.
Exactly. And I'm going to back up here a little bit for those people that are just hearing this for the first time, because it does go over your head for a while. This goes back to the 13th Amendment. Involuntary servitude can happen. You volunteered for it. I can't talk. You volunteered for it by your consent, but your consent was given without full knowledge.
And can I explain how that happened so people understand?
Yes.
That goes back to when you sat down at the closing room table. Now, this goes back to MERS. Okay, MERS was misrepresented to us. They lied to us about it. They withheld the fact that, first of all, mortgage electronic registration systems is a dead entity. They went out. They were gone in 1999, I believe. It doesn't exist. And so MERS on your Fannie Mae or Fannie or Freddie standard document that you're signing is a misrepresentation and an omission of MERS trademark, the MERS Circle R trademark. That if that little Circle R had been shown, we would not be where we're at today. What that does is that goes to an underlying agreement that's underneath the MERS trademark between MERS and Nations Bank, which is Bank of America, and it's a by proxy agreement. That's you're agreeing to allow them to use your legal fiction and your identity in any manner, shape, or form that they wish to. That's how they got you by uninformed consent, through that Fannie and Freddie document.
Absolutely. And they do it through everything that you do. They have all the, and I call them adhesion contracts. I may be wrong, but that's kind of how I understand it.
Well, they are.
Yes, and you don't know what's going on. You don't understand. Therefore, since you don't understand, you're incompetent and considered a minor and need a conservator. And that's so hard for people to understand, because we live our lives, we can take care of ourselves, but they're playing such a huge game around us. Then they just look at us and laugh that this is what they're doing. And when you really dig into it, see what they're doing, read one of these patents that he's found and all the team that's helped him out, and you're going to see that Ken has found some real gems. I mean, I was reading the legal transaction, judges and courts, it's U.S. patent 200-300-287-82A1. And in this patent, they actually referred.
Those lawsuits are transactions operating through a facility. That the judges and clerks are involved in. Think of that word. They're not lawsuits. They're referred to as transactions.
Right. And what was really funny is they made fun of everyone. They actually used their fake website, because I tried to go to them. One of them was www.article3.com, when they're all Article 3 court. And it was just completely a joke, some of the wording they actually used in it, too, if you saw it.
And, all right, we have to go into the break. We will be right back with Ken Dose and the wonderful Lori. Thank you, Lori, and stay on the line. We will be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi. My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Disease, you're parasitical prone, you could never be pleased. Everywhere you've gone, you've been treated for fleas. It's time to de-louse the house, we don't need none of these. Arming themselves to the teeth while taking Americans' guns, and all the time they're having so much fun. Just take a look what they've done. Just take a look what they've done.
They took the gold from Gaddafi and the petrol from Hussein, playing God with Assad's democratic regime. All over your Talmud vision, ISIS is seen, but that big plasma screen is a crisis machine. High definition for the Goyim, Holy Hola hoax, Ilya Ehrenberg's dream. There's too many facets for you to understand the plan, from plundering opium and lithium in Afghanistan to justifying a fraudulent crisis to attack Iran and finalize the greater Israel by taking Pakistan. Just look at the blue borders on their vile flag. The designer of that thing is a foul flag, acting like it represents Talit or this and that. But I have seen the 1947 Rabbi Fishman map. The greed, Lord have mercy. You want Iraq, Syria, Egypt, and even a little piece of Turkey. Tell me, when will your avarice cease? Time immemorial, you acted like nefarious beasts. I can't follow your holla hoax dollar score, especially when the holla Mador killed a lot more.
Welcome back!
Recommended that rhetoric, you should end it. Your anti-
Payday Monsanto on Resurrected Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast. Folks, I
always, I urge you to go out there on Google and Google the name Payday Monsanto. Take this music and spread it around to your youngins and the folks that listen to, you know, I don't really listen to hip-hop, but this is truth and liberty rock, so I want to promote it for everything it's worth. So anyway, that being said, Lori, I'm going to turn this back over to you. My dear, you have been digging into this better than any of us. I think that it's more appropriate that you get these questions out to Ken. And Ken, from me to you, brother, what you're doing is absolutely so essential to what this movement needs right now, which is facts, knowledge, and knowledge is power. So,
knowledge is power, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Ken, the next one I want to go a little bit slower on because I've actually had proof that these exist personally for me. And I encourage everybody else to go and do their research and prove it for themselves. But I've actually seen a county clerk confirm that these exist. This is on the ecclesiastical deed poll.
Yeah.
The reason why I want to slow down, I'd like to go first over the land and how they exist over land, and then ask you questions on how they confer to your body.
Okay, well, this all comes down to, again, the fact that we're incompetent miners and that we're lost at sea. That's the most important thing to understand, the most important thing. Because when we enter into the courtroom, we're entering into an admiralty court of law. And if we're lost at sea, we can't be heard. We can't be seen. And that's what we are. And so the property, our real property, doesn't really belong to us. It belongs to the guardian of our estate, which is the banks. Now, in terms of as far as the counties are concerned, they won't, they don't want to get into this life-death issue. They don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because that's the records that they're referring to. It's all the death records, that they have on file for us. But the ecclesiastical deed poll is basically your ultimate authority, which is God. And there's no greater authority than God. And, by putting yourself back on the land and with the ecclesiastical deed poll, you're putting your rights above anybody else. Up on the level of God, and nobody else can touch that. And so it's real important to get that noticed with the county. And they won't record these things. I've tried. They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. So we got to figure out other ways to get it in. And now, if I can talk about my case for a minute and what's going on with my case, because it ties in with what we're talking about here. What I've done is I've got my authentications in the works. I got a couple of them. I got the one from the state. I'm waiting for the DC one to come in. But what I did was I filed. This is a combination of myself and Anna and a bunch of other people to put together this equity package. And I think Anna referred to it a couple weeks ago when she said she put a post up there about on next Monday some filings going in or something's going to really go into take a fact that's going to help everybody. I think she was referring to my case. And what we did was we put it into it, invoked exclusive equity. And what that is it's totally different than going in on the at-law side. What you're doing is you're going into probate, essentially. You go into your estate. So you want to get it into exclusive equity. And once you do that, now I did submit it into court, and the court did accept it. And what you do when you go into exclusive equity, you're going in with a $10 postal money order and a $2 bill. And if they accept it and they cash that means that they accepted your bond. And that $10 represents a tax that we never paid on that goes back to an 1803 law that has to do with a tax on land. So once they accept that and they accept your $2 bond, your case is bonded. So now you bring yourself back onto the land.
Okay. That makes sense. Can you kind of explain what an ecclesiastical deed poll is?
It's a deed poll. What's a deed poll? What's a deed? A deed is a death. A deed is a death deed. It's death. So ecclesiastical deed poll is basically saying that you're not dead, and you're claiming yourself to be alive, and you're claiming all rights they're under vesting to you. And so it's basically a revocation of the death deed, which is what a deed is.
So that's confirmation that I've seen from the county that this actually exists, that this is real then.
Yeah. This is most definitely real. This is most definitely real. I'll tell you, since when I put that equity package in, I convened an in-camera with my judge, that same judge that awarded summary judgment. And I met with him. He took off his robe, and it was only a seven-minute conversation, but it was a conversation that said, he says, I would love to help. I want to help, but I can't right now because I don't have jurisdiction because I was still in appeals court. So what I did was I went and I filed a voluntary dismissal of the appeal that I brought to the appeals court and waited for it to get dismissed, which it did. And this past Monday, I went down to the court and I filed that dismissal with a motion for a stay for 90 days so that I can administer exhaust my administrative remedies, after which I will convene a court in 90 days, meaning I was going to bring up an equity package. And so I put that in. But also what I put in that day was I tried to file, and the county refused to take it, a declaration of a non-abandonment of a homestead, which is never done, which is unheard of being done. And she said, we've never recorded these. We never will record these. And she goes, I'll check with counsel, though, and I'll get back with you, but I don't think we're going to record it. And I'll tell you, this is how much the county has turned around. I mean, people know how difficult the counties can be. I got a phone call from her the next morning saying that, yes, we will go ahead and record it. I went down there to record it later that afternoon, and it was like these people rolled out the red carpet for me. That's how nice they were. So I think what's happening here, if I'm seeing this correctly, I'm reading this correctly, they see where I'm going with this proof of life issue. They see where I'm going with seizing back my property, and they see that I understand that this is administrative. I understand also that because I put the equity package in, I've got the judges oath and bond on the line, and that I can mail them all through the administrative process and go after their liabilities. Not only that, go after them personally. So the way I'm seeing this and the way I'm taking it is I'm thinking that the court is basically open up the gate, basically, and let me on the path to go ahead and exhaust my remedies because they don't want to get in the way.
The other thing is you're probably being real respectful and honorable in all your actions as well. That's a major portion of this as well.
I think that we don't have to approach this with anger. I know a lot of us got anger. A lot of us got anger. I got a lot of anger. I'd love to hang a lot of these guys by the balls if I could, you know. But at the end of the day, here's the way I look at it. At the end of the day, if I can go ahead and I can put myself back on the land, I can prove my life, I can get my decree, and have everything vest into me, and that I'm that here I am, I'm alive, I'm back on the land, I'm in control of my own domain, I've got control of my minor children, which is my all caps name, and all that vests with me, and I can walk away and go back and live my life. Hey, why not? You know, because if more of us were to pursue this avenue and go this avenue, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to have all of a sudden, you're going to have the state agencies at odds with the banks because the state agencies are getting the revenues from these bonds, and now they're not going to be getting these revenues from these bonds because we're taking back our land, our person, our man, our woman, so on and so forth, and they're going to be going after the banks. And who's going to be caught in the middle? The bar attorneys. Let them meet each other. Let them meet each other. The way I look at it, put aside the anger, do what you need to do as far as getting your shit straight, getting your, you know, you're getting yourself back on the land, getting your authentications, get all of that together, and walk away. Just walk away from it. And let them meet each other.
And remember one thing, and you also have to remember, Ken, every single one of us on any side of this, I don't care who you are, we were all born into it. Some people got into the opposite side of death, the death side of it is what I call it.
Uh-huh.
They got into it and learned what was going on. They probably wanted to be a lawyer to help people and to do good. When they got into it, they learned this stuff. Can you imagine someone actually having proof given to them of this going on and everyone thinking them crazy, having to live life knowing this?
I don't know how these people that know what's going on, how these bar attorneys can actually live with themselves. I really don't. I think it's disgusting the way that they you know, if you open up, I posted something else up the other last night, I think, which was the, well, no, you mentioned it, the Business Entities Act. And that's real. That's their playbook. That's the ABA's playbook for the way that they manipulate our tax status. This is why the IRS is so important, because a domestic person, I'm sorry, a U.S. citizen or U.S. United States person is defined as a domestic corporation. So that in and of itself should tell you that our all caps name is a corporation. But what they've done is they've taken that our all caps name and they've put it into a private LLC. And a single name LLC or partnership LLC, and they're running these through to build annuities and build fortunes within these LLCs using our stolen signature. And that Business Entities Transactions Act, that's their playbook. And there's one section in there that says basically if you get caught, start erasing everything. That's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
Really?
So if my anger goes anywhere, it goes to these bar attorneys. I think these bar attorneys should be lined up and they should all be shot.
Wow.
Well, I can't really argue with you much there. I have this vision of a platform with a rope myself. So my brother is a bar association attorney and my heart bleeds for him. I love him with all my heart. I really do. I always will, always have, I always will. But you know, the way I look at it, even in the municipal court, I see them essentially fleecing people and living off of the victimless crimes and revenue generation procedures that, you know, I've talked to many of my friends who are police officers, you know, they're having some moral struggles now that they're awakening too.
Good. And they should. I'm glad. Good. That's good.
They are. It's happening, brother. It's happening. And they're awakening into this, you know, what are these red light cameras about? What are these quotas about? Why are we not, you know, why are we not protecting people? Why are we, we're being forced to go out there and make 100 contacts as if contacts were valid to the preservation of rights? So they're awakening, but they're finding themselves trapped in a little bit of a matrix themselves.
Once they put it to their own lives, and once they realize that they're no different than the people that they're being charged to arrest, I think that kind of puts it in, that really should give them identity crisis. But it really should actually make it clear to them that, hey, what I'm doing is not right, because they're doing the same thing to me.
And when they find out all of this that we're finding out as well is true, I think they're going to have a different way of looking at it. And they are watching us. They are listening to us. They are hearing what's going on.
And
they are seeing what we're studying.
We're not. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have done some things, maybe with the right intention, but have gone overboard with it and have really damaged it for other people and making it more difficult for us in some sense, because they've gone after and started leaning judges and filing UCC liens and stuff. It's like, man, don't do that stuff. Don't do stupid stuff like that. You don't have the authority to do it. If you have the authority, then yeah, go ahead after them in tort. But don't go filing liens against people that you don't have the authority to. And that's the problem. That's what everything comes down to. Everything we're dealing with. See, I deal in facts. My background's architecture. So everything I deal with is facts. It's got to be facts. If it's not grounded in facts, then I can't take it to be true. And the one thing I did when I first undertook this, one thing I made my promise myself I wanted to was I promised that I wasn't going to watch media anymore. I wasn't going to read blogs anymore. I wasn't going to do anything but focus on what I was focusing on, which was just the ascertaining and collection of facts and then a non-biased interpretation and verification of those facts through sources that we need, that are sources that support or don't support these facts, and that would be like the SEC or court filings or patents or whatever, you know. And I remember I had a friend of mine call. He used to call me all the time and say, hey, did you read this blog? Did you read Neil Garfield's blog? No. Well, you got to really read it. No, I don't have to read it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to read any of that stuff because I don't want to be influenced by any kind of bias. All I want to deal with, all I want to get down to is the facts. And that's it, the facts. And I think I finally succeeded in doing that, and now I'm presenting it. These are the facts. There is no other, there's no alternative, there's no conspiracy here. Well, there is a conspiracy, but there's no theory behind this. This is the fact right here, period. This is what we need to focus on.
And here's one I do want to mention that's a patent. I think this is the one that you were talking about for Mears. I want to put the number out there for people. It's US 858-355-3B2. Now I can't speak. Conditionally obfuscating one or more secret entities with respect to one or more billing statements relating to one or more communiques, and it goes on from there. But I have a feeling that's what you're talking about with the MERS banking agreement and the secret agreement behind it, that this is that patent. And well, I really wanted to get that out to people that are hearing us.
Have a single patent.
When I first heard about it, I wanted those patent numbers.
It's contained in dozens, if not hundreds, of patents.
Lori! Yes. Some guys, you were talking over each other. I couldn't even hear either one of you. One at a time. I couldn't make that out. Lori, can
I have a habit of interrupting. Just smack me down.
No, that's okay. That's all right. I just couldn't understand. It sounded like blah, 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 blah.
Okay, go ahead, Lori. I'll shut up.
What I wanted to do is get the patent number out for the people so that they could go and do their own research to back up what you just said about the facts, because when I first learned about this, I wanted patent numbers so I could go read it. And getting some of these numbers out so people can start digging is going to really help them out. And these are international patents, because this banking MERS, I believe, went overseas as well.
Yes. Yes, it did. As a matter of fact, there's one patent. I'm going to have to look up on it to post it again. And I've got to find it again, because it's I thought of it, and I thought, damn, where the hell did I store that thing? I believe it's by a CIBC, which is Canadian. I can't. The name is. I can't remember the name of the bank, but I think it's CIBC. And I was stunned when I opened up the patent and looked at the diagrams and was reading the diagrams. And lo and behold, there's mortgage electronic registration systems flowing right through a Canadian patent and right through Canadian Commerce and flowing right overseas from Canada to England, from England over to Nova Scotia, back to Canada, back to the Bank of New York Mellon.
Yes,
we're dealing with here is we're dealing with the flow of information. And what is that information? It's patents. What are these patents? These patents are grants. Who is the subject of these patents that are granted? You and me, our identities, our signatures, our production, our so-called cooperation. Of course, where there is no cooperation, because we never volunteered for anything.
Yeah, that's the part that really kicks me in the head, you know, and even still, you know, we've been talking a lot lately about the Constitution, because, you know, I consider myself to be a constitutionalist, but you see, I think it's very, no one ever challenges me on what Constitution I'm referring to. Because, you know, I look at it, I'm kind of like I'm a fan of Patrick Henry. And when Patrick Henry showed up, he said, what were his exact words? I smell a rat.
You know? Yeah, it is a big one here.
Yes, sir.
It's a huge rat here. You know what's really upsetting about all of this? I think what gets me the most, I mean, really, really, really does upset me, is that they intentionally have set out to create a false reality that truly is a false reality that does not exist.
Yeah.
And we're living by that reality. And the reality that we actually should be living with is the reality that is bouncing back and forth between these computers within these automated processes, which are artificially intelligent prediction programs, basically, on how our behaviors are going to act in given situations. And so what's really upsetting about this is they intentionally set out, these mortgage lenders, Own It Mortgage, Countrywide, these guys intentionally set out by false marketing, false advertising, to imply and to demonstrate and to convince us of a mortgage lending industry that is not mortgage lending at all, but in fact what is taking us and selling us to their private annuities is what this did. And that's what upsets me the most, because for years now, since this has been going on, since they first instituted this and kicked this crap up in like 1998 when they started designing and integrating it, they have intentionally and actively kept this a secret. And it's just to me, I can't even wrap my head around it, because it's so damn vile. We live in a world that's not even true. That's not even true.
I'm going to prove to you what you're saying is real. And I'm going to go back to the Common Core, because the mortgages, Common Core, all of it is the computers. And what you said about it, we titled this Screwing the Matrix. Excuse the print there. But one of the things, there's a site called 2030.org. And a couple of months ago in Colorado, they presented this to some superintendents for schools. Now, in this, if you go to 2030.org and look at the graph that they have on it, the timeline, and they literally have on this timeline where they're going to plug in prisoners, children, in vitro.
Yes.
Literally creating the matrix, and they, I'm serious, I'm very serious, literally presented this to a group of superintendents a few months ago in Colorado. It was insane, and anyone that thinks that that's a theory or anything else, they have the patents behind each and every one of these where you're in prison, but you're in prison mentally in some kind of Borg-type system that they plug you into. It's called a virtual prison.
Well, literally on there. There's a whole series of patents out there. I can't think of who it is that put them out, but it's one of the basis for all these patents. And what it is, they're playing virtual world games, the virtual world avatar to a financial transaction that pays out in a real world situation. Mm-hmm. So they've literally played these games out in virtual world, and they bring it to fruition in real life. I mean, this is what they're doing with our lives, people. This is they've created avatars of us. So we're not talking about living. So now we got living man, living woman, and we got a legal personality. But now we got another entity to deal with, and that's a non-human, which is a creation of our legal personality, our corporate fiction, our living man, living woman. That is an avatar.
Yes.
This has got to stop. This has to stop. It has to. But you know what? This is so damn big, that the only way to stop it, I mean, Anna, I love Anna to death, and she's done some fantastic things and necessary things. She's taking the sword to cut off the head of the beast, okay? But she needs us, and we need her, and what's going to really kill this thing is we've got to operate at ground level. And what is ground level? Ground level is looking ourselves in the mirror and saying, hey, I've got to bring myself back on the land. I've got to take care of my own stuff. I've got to bring my identity to life. I've got to take control of my identity, because the more of us that do this, they're not going to be able to stop us. They cannot stop us from doing this. And the more people that do this, what's going to happen? We're going to start taking them out at the knees. So Anna can take off their head, we'll take them out at the knees. What's going to happen? They're going to fall. That's the only way we can do this. But the only way it starts, though, is with each individual person. They have to undertake this themselves. And the more of us that do that, the more success we'll have.
Ken, we have about 2 minutes left, and I want you to use this opportunity to share with our audience again how they can reach you and how they can find this information and what we can do to support you, brother.
What I need is a website. Rebecca Cope from Spitwad used to be with Adventures in Sovereignty, but she's with Spitwad now. She's working with me to get her website going. But for now, I can be reached at my name Facebook, which is Ken Dost, D-O-S-T, or the better page to go to would be Facebook page, Mortgage Equals Copyright Derivative, and that equals is the equal sign, not spelled out. Once again, Mortgage Equals Copyright Derivative. There is an innumerable amount of information there.
I had a good idea.
The file section will keep you busy for a year if you wanted to stay busy.
Ken, I just had a really good idea.
Yes,
we're going to be putting a spot on Resurrect the Republic. We're going to be devoting to you and your work, and I will send you an invitation so that you can become a writer on that spot.
Fantastic.
Claim it, own it. It already exists. We already have people. We already have numbers. Folks, you just heard it right here. You can, in the future, give me a day or two, and I will have Ken and his information on ResurrectTheRepublic.com as well as whatever site he comes out with. And thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Lori. God bless all of you, and we will be back. Resurrect Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Thanks, folks.
I'm not interested in photo ops. Photo ops.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. All over America, people are suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, clogged arteries, and high cholesterol. Can you live your life free from sickness, pain, and fear, and experience your body healing itself? Look to Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural supplement that aids ailing bodies. It has an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. End the pain without all the side effects of prescription drugs. People 20 years younger will envy your vitality. Want a happier, healthier you? Then go to heartandbody.com or call toll-free 866-295-5305 for free information. Heart and Body Extract offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. What are you waiting for? Call Heart and Body now at 866-295-5305 for your free information. Go to heartandbody.com, 866-295-5305. Distributor inquiries welcome.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.